Chapter 23. Captured. All of us put our hands up. Among the many unpacked boxes in Atmani's office was one marked Law Enforcement Supplies. Hondo found several sets of handcuffs in it and tossed them onto the desk beside Atmani.
Lock them up and let's get out of here.
I didn't do anything, Atmani told us weakly.
Oh, for crying out loud, Hondo groaned. Drop the innocent act already. There's no point anymore. The kid figured everything out, and we have to go.
Atmani sagged. Up to that point, he'd done an impressive job of feigning innocence and pretending to be offended by my accusations. But now he showed his true self. He picked the handcuffs up, looking embarrassed about how everything had turned out. Hondo took Honecker's gun from him, then ordered us,
Get down on the floor.
We did as he said.
I'm sorry, Atmani told us as he cuffed Mom to the leg of his desk. I didn't mean for this to happen.
We trusted you to protect those rhinos, Mom said angrily.
And I did,
Atmani turned his attention to cuffing Dad.
Hondo wanted to simply kill them and take their horns. I came up with a way that let them stay alive. If Teddy hadn't caught on, we wouldn't have to do this.
And you would have gotten away, Mom spat.
We are getting away, Hondo reminded her. Hand over your phones.
We did. Hondo pocketed them. Atmani finished cuffing Dad to the desk and moved on to Honecker. Mom glared at Atmani.
If you sell those horns, you're just as bad as any poacher. You'll feed demand for more, which will lead to more dead rhinos. And for what? A little bit of money?
No, Hondo taunted. A lot of money. Listen to yourselves, getting all worked up about some butt-ugly beasts. If you can't eat an animal, what's the use of it?
He turned to Atmani and asked,
Where are the real horns?
Atmani nodded to a closet in the office. Hondo opened it. A large black duffel bag was sitting on the floor. Hondo unzipped it to make sure the horns were there, then zipped it back up and hoisted it onto his shoulder. He ripped Atmani's desk phone out of the wall so we couldn't use it, then turned to me and grinned.
You were clever to figure it out, kid, but not clever enough to stop us.
He grabbed the handcuffs that were already on my wrist, apparently thinking Atmani had put them on me. What 12-year-old ran around wearing a set of handcuffs and clipped the other end to a desk leg?
Come on, he told Atmani. The plane's waiting.
Atmani followed him to the door, then looked back at us with genuine sadness.
I really am sorry, he said.
Then he shut the door on us and hurried down the hall.
Of course he's sorry, Honecker muttered. If it hadn't been for Teddy, he'd have been able to disappear without a trace.
Mom, Dad, Honecker, and I were all cuffed to the desk, unable to go anywhere and without phones. However, I still had the key to my cuffs in my pocket. I quickly fished it out.
Where'd you get that? Dad asked, surprised.
From Marge. They're her cuffs.
So you can get loose? Mom asked, relieved.
Yes. I unlocked myself from the desk, then tried the key on Dad's handcuffs.
It won't work, Honecker told me. Every set of cuffs has a different key. Don't waste time with us. You have to stop at Mani and Hondo. If they have a plane nearby, they could be in Mexico in less than an hour.
I looked to my parents. They seemed to agree.
Be careful, Mom warned. Hondo has a gun. Do what you can, but protecting those horns isn't worth losing your life over.
I'll do my best, I told her, then raced out the door. Hondo and Atmani were already long gone. Both of them were strong men in good shape. They could probably run much faster than I could. I was still tired from all the morning's excitement, but I gave it my best, racing through the hall and then down the stairs. I emerged into the lobby of the administration building, expecting to find the guard who'd been on duty there that morning. Unfortunately, he was gone. One glance at his desk indicated his absence was probably due to Pancake. The place was a disaster area. The orangutan had yanked out every drawer and dumped out the contents. There was also a huge hole in the front window that had apparently been made by an orangutan throwing the guard's chair through it. The chair lay in the entry plaza, busted into pieces. I ducked through the broken window and sprinted into the park. Far ahead of me, Hondo and Atmani were nearing the front gates. Beyond the gates, I could see Hondo's car idling in the drop-off area. There was no way I could catch them. They had much too big a head start. The The only security officer I could see was stationed in the booth at the employee entrance. He was too far away to hear me, but I yelled to him out of desperation anyhow.
"Stop those guys! They stole the rhino horns!"
Inside the security booth, the officer didn't budge. Hondo heard me, though. He gave me a mocking wave goodbye. And then I heard purring, or at least I felt it. I turned and spotted the elephant herd heading back home after their morning walk, closing in on the front gates. Something slammed into me, knocking me to the ground. It was Large Marge. She was still coated in icing and various pastry fillings. Her hair stuck out from her head in sticky coils that, combined with the rage in her eyes, made her look like Medusa.
"I told you I'd get you," she snarled.
"Marge," I yelled, "Atmani and Hondo are stealing all the rhino horns. If you stop them, you'll be a hero."
"Shut up."
Marge knelt over me, pressing me flat on the ground.
"I've had it with your shenanigans once and for all."
Atmani and Hondo were almost to the front gates. "I'll let you arrest me if you want," I pleaded, "but I need you to..." Marge clapped a chocolate-frosted hand over my mouth and roared,
"I said shut up!"
Only the last word wasn't exactly up. It was more like, "Wah!" because Pancake whacked her on the head with a fist as she said it. Marge's eyes rolled upward, and she collapsed on the ground beside me. Her face splatted right into an elephant poo the keepers hadn't got around to cleaning up yet. Normally, I might have rolled her out of it, but there were other things to deal with. "Thanks," I told Pancake, then yanked the gun out of Marge's holster. "Cover your ears. This might be loud." Pancake did exactly as I'd asked. I fired the gun into the air again and again. The elephants trumpeted in alarm.
"Oh, no," Bonnie cried. "Not again."
I kept firing. I'd never shot a gun before. The recoil was bigger than I expected, so I had to use my other arm to steady it. I pulled the trigger until it clicked empty. The elephant stampeded in the opposite direction from me, right toward the front gates. Just as they had 2 days before, they left a trail of droppings and a river of pee, and they flattened everything in their path. The beautiful landscaping of the entry plaza was trampled within seconds. Atmani and Hondo were right in the elephant's path. Atmani had the presence of mind to keep running, but Hondo flipped out. The guy already had issues with animals, and now the biggest ones in the world were charging right at him. He screeched like a little girl and froze in terror. As the elephants bore down on him, he whipped out his own gun and pointed it at the oncoming herd.
"Stop," he ordered, "or I'll shoot."
The little gun probably wouldn't have made a dent in the elephant's thick hides, but they bore down on him before he could fire anyhow. The lead elephant swatted him aside with her trunk, and he flew through the air like a well-hit baseball. He smashed through the front window of the Fun Jungle Emporium and landed in a pile of Henry Hippo Jr. commemorative merchandise. The elephants then plowed through the front gates, knocking them off their hinges like living battering rams. The gates crashed to the ground and were crushed beneath the elephant's feet. Atmani reached the getaway car, but there was no time for him to get inside. The elephants stormed right over it. A steamroller couldn't have done a better job. The tires exploded and the windows shattered. By the time the last elephant got to the car, it wasn't much thicker than a sheet of tinfoil. I was about to run after them all when I heard a strange wailing noise coming from nearby me. At first I thought it was an animal in pain, but then I realized it was coming from Marge. She was sitting up, wiping elephant poop and frosting from her face, and crying.
"I give up," she sobbed. "Whenever I try to stop you, I lose. No one cares that you're a menace, and look at what happens to me."
"I'm not a menace," I pointed out. "The orangutan broke into the stores, not me."
"I know," Marge bawled. "You're right, as usual. The great Teddy Fitzroy solves another crime while I end up covered in poo. It's not fair."
I wasn't quite sure what to do. Up until that moment, I would have expected that seeing Marge soiled with poop and swearing off chasing me would be a dream come true. But now she seemed so sad and pathetic that I actually felt bad for her. I'd never seen an adult cry like this before, but I didn't really have time to deal with it either. So I gave her a quick pat on the back, trying to avoid touching any of the disgusting stuff on her, and did my best to be reassuring. "There, there," I said. "Things will get better." Marge managed to stop crying and look to me thankfully.
You really think so?
Well, I said, they couldn't really get much worse. Then I raced off to see what had become of Hondo and Atmani. I got to Fun Jungle Emporium first. Hondo was still lying there in the window display, unconscious after being cold-cocked by the elephant. He was buried under 100 stuffed hippos. The duffel bag lay in a pile of broken snow globes. Bonnie ran up to me, angry as could be.
What on earth were you thinking with that gun? Someone could have been hurt!
Sorry, I said, unzipping the duffel bag. I was trying to stop them from stealing these.
Bonnie gasped upon seeing the horns inside. Her anger instantly dissipated.
Are those real?
Unfortunately, yes. I looked out through where the front gates had been. With his getaway car flattened, Atmani was searching desperately for another way to escape. But the few other cars in the area were locked, which left Atmani out in the open in the big, wide parking lot.
Atmani was in on this? Bonnie asked, aghast.
I pointed to Hondo. It was his idea, but Atmani made it all happen. The anger returned to Bonnie's eyes, but it was no longer directed at me.
I'll handle this, then.
She plucked the gun from Hondo's hand and stormed into the parking lot.
You get those hands up right now, she yelled. I have zero tolerance for poachers.
Atmani realized he was caught. He froze and raised his hands in resignation. Beyond him, far across the parking lot, a lamppost toppled as one of the elephants bumped into it.
What on earth happened here?
Someone demanded. Pete Thwacker stood behind me. He was staring in shock at all the destruction around us. The busted front gates, the trampled landscaping, the flattened getaway car, and the broken display window with Hondo lying in the middle of it.
The elephant sort of stampeded again, I said.
Really?
An ear-to-ear grin blossomed on Pete's face.
This is fantastic, he crowed. Look at this awesome devastation! The tourists are gonna love it!